Boy. All right. It is 1 o'clock, like normal, on Thursday, the 15th, the day after Valentine's Day. Hopefully you had a wonderful Valentine's Day and got chocolate or booze or I don't know, whatever. Let's start off with some questions that I think need to be asked. And I don't know how the hell this actually transpired, but if you watch the Super Bowl, President Biden dropped in for a second. And again, I'd like to state for the record, I am not a party affiliated, whatever. I think that voting in a two-party system is pretty much just a waste of a vote in most cases. But the president of the United States is on TikTok and he posted a video where they were asking him questions, which fine, whatever. The gist of it that I got was he really likes cookies, which okay, but if TikTok is if they're having congressional hearings about the intelligence issues around TikTok and the use of TikTok to undermine America's youth and all these other things, like how in the fuck did somebody say, let's have the president of the United States be on TikTok? Doesn't that seem like just a categorical bad idea? I mean, I get it. It's an election year and you got to market to everybody that you think you could possibly get a vote from and what, sure, whatever. Yeah. But we have, well, like we have a national issues going on with this thing. It's noted that there's a Chinese tie. It is tied to the CCP. We've got studies being published. There's all this social media stuff going on. And the president, the leader of the free world, somehow his people decided, let's put him on TikTok. It doesn't that sound like just a message that's going to confuse the shit out of people? And isn't that just a bad, I don't, I mean, I for the life of me can't figure out how the conversation transpired in the White House where they were like, I have an idea so that we can market this to a different generation. Let's put you on basically a propaganda machine that is run by the Chinese Communist Party, and we'll throw that out there, and then you can get lots of followers and whatever else, and then all the TikTok-y things can happen. It just sounds to me and seems to me like that was a really poor judgment call on some people's judgment call list. That's a stupid way of saying it, but I mean, just not a good way to do things, if you ask me. Like, how did that transpire? Who was in the room, and in what world was it like? Yeah, let's have the president go on TikTok, where we just a week ago had a congressional hearing about TikTok being an agent of a foreign government. Doesn't, am I the only one who sees that this stuff is problematic? I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's other issues going on. Like, just for the record, I worked in classified spaces all the way up to the read-in special access programs and whatever else. I physically searched my people when they tried to leave the SCIF. If any of them had ever taken home a piece of classified information, they would have been locked up for a long time. The president and the former president do this, and it's just like, oops, don't worry about it. We'll just bury that. Like the standard and the leadership stuff that needs to happen in my, and this is my opinion, that needs to happen with these folks, it's not there. I mean, the proof that is positive of do as I say, not as I do is becoming ever more clear. And that's a problem. That's just my opinion. Okay, enough ranting and raving about TikTok and the president, whatever. But for the record, it's a really bad idea and the president should not be on TikTok. I don't give a shit who the president is. Don't be on TikTok. You shouldn't be on TikTok. That is, you might as well just partner up with the CCP. Let's talk about advisory board stuff because somebody, I'm proud to say that I'm helping out Keeper with their stuff, just PubSec advisory board. Let me tell you what advisory boards really mean. They don't really mean much. Most of the organizations that I talk to, and I'm on a bunch of advisory boards, a bunch of advisory boards, and it's one of these things of like, most of them don't listen. They put you on there because they want some branding and they want some, you know, a notoriety and whatever. And I'm not anybody of a whole lot of notoriety, but it's just one of those things of like they put you on there, and most of the time they have, you have one call a quarter, maybe one call every half a year or whatever. And this is not all organizations, but a lot of them. And then that's kind of it. You don't get paid. You're just there to advise. And if you're lucky, you might get some stocks or shares or something on the far end of it or whatever else. But it's, I'll show you my bank account. There's no money coming in from Chase being on advisory boards with a bunch of different organizations. I just do it because I like to help. And it gives me something to do, because the worst thing in the world is for me to be bored. But I mean, here's the other question that I think these people should ask, and this person that DM'd me when they saw that I was on another advisory board. How can folks be in Congress and get paid a salary that we know is public, but they still are multimillionaires? And how can they trade stocks when they have insider knowledge and get away with that shit and no one questions it and they're not run to ground and it's not illegal and whatever else? Like when I was at Forrester Research, we were not allowed to do anything around boards and stocks and whatever else, because we had possibly intricate insider knowledge of things. But if you're an elected official, a congressman, a senator, a governor, or whatever, you can do that all day long. And it's not necessarily not legal or illegal. There's like this weird sort of gray space. And they can become multimillionaires over time. Doesn't that seem way more corrupt and way more concerning and worthy of someone else to go off and ask these questions and DM those people than to DM like industry analyst type people that are on industry advisory boards? I'm not going to retire as a multimillionaire. I can guarantee you that. I'm probably never going to fucking retire, but there is a corruption problem that stems from the bottom all the way up to the top in this country, in this world. And it is getting worse, and we're not asking the right questions. We're not holding the people accountable that need to be held accountable. So, you know, for that individual that took the time out of their day to DM me and ask me about advisory board stuff, and it was pretty accusatory, to be perfectly frank. Thanks for your email. Appreciate that. But go concern yourself with stuff that actually matters, not some jackass like me being on an industry advisory board. You got better things to do. At least I hope you'd have better things to do. Okay, so now let's move on to the news, because that's probably where I have some value. If you're not aware, deepfakes are becoming more and more of a thing. I wish someone had warned us about deepfakes and like wrote books about it and whatever else. That would be crazy. There's an article in the Hacker News, Chinese hackers using deepfakes in advanced mobile banking malware attacks. A Chinese-speaking threat actor codenamed Gold Factory, okay, has been attributed to the development of highly sophisticated banking trojans, including a previously undocumented iOS malware called Gold Pickaxe, nice, that's capable of harvesting identity documents, facial recognition data, and intercepting SMS. It's on both iOS and Android platforms, Singapore-headquartered Group IB said in an extensive report shared with the Hacker News. Gold Factory is believed to be a well-organized Chinese-speaking cybercrime group with close connections to Gigabud. Active since 2023, Gold Factory is also responsible for Android banking trojans, and they actually have a piece of software called Gold Digger. Which is okay. But yeah, go read this article at the end of this. I'll put all the links to this, but go look at that. Cause you're seeing the escalation, you're seeing the commoditization of these types of attacks. We promoted that this was going to be a thing years ago, and it was kind of like, oh, whatever, that'll blah, blah, blah. We're there. I mean, we are there. You're seeing, deepfakes become an actual avenue of compromise. And while I'm talking about deepfakes, let me talk about, and I will put the GoFundMe page for this group on this as well. And I'm going to keep pushing it, because these poor people, it's not often in cyber that you actually meet people that like personally have been affected by cyber scams. You hear about it and it's a thing on the news and whatever. But I talked with these folks yesterday. I'm trying to connect them up with the FBI and some other folks. But two of the nicest older folks that you could ever meet, they're Canadian, as a matter of fact. I think they live in Ottawa. Doug and his wife, their last name is Lund. And basically what happened was they were just doing their thing at home, chilling, being retirees. They saw something on YouTube. It was a deep fake of Elon Musk promoting a crypto sort of currency thing. They thought it was a good idea to kind of check it out. They followed the path and everything seemed legitimate. They did the smart stuff. They checked like Better Business Bureau and whatever. And they kind of did what I would consider to be a basic due diligence. And then they started talking with this individual who had a, from what they told me, a Dutch accent. And this individual basically walked them through how to invest in this thing. And to the bad guy's credit here, they had them invest and actually make some money just to kind of make the scam really real. And it took a couple of months is what they said. And then because these are elderly folks and Doug's right hand or left hand one doesn't work well because he got in a motorcycle wreck a long time ago, he was not able to keep up with all the trading and the use of the internet the way that the bad guys wanted. So they asked him to install AnyDesk on his computer, which most of us in cyber know that that's a big time no-no. Doug doesn't know that. He's a retiree at home chilling. So what does the bad guy do? He jumps in, starts using AnyDesk, moves all over the place, uses Doug's computer, and basically over time, over the course of 2 months, stole almost $200,000 from Doug. And because it's crypto and because it's international and because they're Canadian, they're fucked. There's no real recourse for them. There's no way for them to get that money back. This was the money that they had saved to help them get their retirement home. And now it's gone. And the Canadian cops and the Ottawa police have basically said, sure, file a police report and we'll, you know, see what happens. But there's almost no chance this will ever get rectified for them. So like I said, I will put their GoFundMe here. If you've got $5-$10 or whatever, I'm going to donate money to it. Let's, you know, if we can, as a community, I think we should try and help these people. Cause this is, it's like talking to your granddad and, you know, he just got basically bent over the barrel and raped by a cyber criminal. It was hard to talk to him and see what had gone on. Cause they're just nice people minding their own business and their life savings got stolen in a deep fake crypto scam. It's crazy. You know, these are criminals. There is no bottom line that they will not go to. And it can happen to Doug, just like it could happen to me or it could happen to you or whatever. My mother has been targeted repeatedly in scams and stuff like that. Luckily, she's managed to dip away from it. But I'm just saying, we shouldn't all be on that high horse because it could happen to any of us any day. So if you can, I'll put the link in here. Let's try and help Doug and his wife out because they're good people. They deserve some help. Really interesting stuff about FUD. Beyond the hype, questioning FUD in cybersecurity marketing. Could cybersecurity professionals benefit from FUD awareness training in the same way that they benefit from phishing awareness training? Which I wouldn't say that we necessarily benefit from phishing awareness training, but yeah. Cybercrime, it talks about the global cost of trillions of dollars and whatever else. You know, and then they get into really where the data comes that backs this stuff up. And I think Ross, I hope I get his name right. I think Holyoak is his last name. But anyway, he wrote a good book called Cyber for Builders. He was talking about this recently where we live in cyber, and cyber is a space where we market kind of cool, amazing numbers. We talk about, and I do this like on this podcast, because you're crawling through trying to find data. And if you find 50 different data sources, they're all going to be certainly slightly different. You know what I mean? And it's you're going to have real issues going on with whether or not there's veracity in that data. Now, number one, do your own research and think for yourself. But number two, it's right, Ross's point on that we are kind of marketing probably fraudulent data in many cases is pretty valid. I mean, it's a big problem. Are we marketing FUD? A lot of times that's what happens. I think as an industry, my two cents is we've gotten a little bit better about marketing solutions and capabilities and strategy and that type of stuff, which is good. But FUD is still a very real thing. Now, I'll also say that there's a difference between FUD, just trying to sow fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and telling people the truth about what's going on, which is what I hopefully try and do, and making sure that they understand that there are data and metrics to some degree behind this stuff that's worth knowing about. So it's a good article. I'll read it, and I'll throw that in there too. Now, I did want to clarify what the picture was for this week's live stream. If you're not aware, the CIA actually had and this is all declassified, the CIA actually had a project a long time ago called Acoustic Kitty. And what the idea was we can basically put a microphone and a transmitter and a cat and train the cat to go close to people so that we could listen in on their conversations because no one would suspect a cat, right? Well, this was $25 million worth of research in your taxpayer dollars. And basically what they found out was what everybody already knows about cats is cats are assholes and they kind of do whatever they want. So $25 million later, the CIA tried to deploy this. And this is the best part. They had this kitty that had been trained, that was going to do its thing, that had the transmitters and the receivers and could listen to conversations. And they had it in Russia and they let it out of the van and it took about three steps and got hit by a taxi. So, yeah, sometimes even the best intentions and the most money thrown at research just really is all for naught. But yeah, that's Acoustic Kitty. Go look it up. It's a legit thing. Pretty crazy. There is a serious vulnerability that has been discovered in the internet. And this is in PR Leap, serious vulnerability in the internet infrastructure, fundamental design flaw in DNSSEC discovered. The National Research Center for Applied Cybersecurity, Athene, has uncovered a critical flaw in the design of the DNSSEC, the security extension of DNS, domain name system. DNS is one of the fundamental building blocks of the internet. Yes. The design flaw has devastating consequences for essentially all DNSSEC validating DNS implementations of public DNS providers, such as Google and Cloudflare. The Athene team, led by Professor Dr. Haya Schulman from Goethe University, Frankfurt, developed Keytrap, a new class of attacks. It's always great when we develop attacks. With just a single DNS packet, hackers could stall all widely used DNS implementations and public DNS providers. Exploitation's attack would have severe consequences for any application using the internet. Let me say that again. Any application using the internet, including unavailability of technologies such as web browsing, email, and instant messaging. With Keytrap, an attacker could completely disable large parts of the worldwide internet. The researchers worked with all relevant vendors and major public DNS providers over several months, resulting in a number of vendor-specific patches. The last one's published on Tuesday, February 13th, so a few days ago. It is highly recommended for all providers of DNS services to apply these patches immediately to mitigate this critical vulnerability. So this is not a small thing. This is not this is a problem and we'll patch it later, whatever. This is the internet. This is email. This is apps. If we don't patch DNSSEC, the internet itself could collapse. And whenever somebody's developed an exploit that's this functional, guaranteed it's already out there and it's floating around. So I really hope that Google and Cloudflare and all those other providers that do DNS stuff are paying attention and are patching this particular problem. Because if we're not, we are in a bad place. Internet goes down and it's fucking chaos. The record recorded future stuff. Really great. Suzanne Smalley. Polish PM says previous ruling party. Say that three times fast. Used Pegasus. Polish PM, previous party, Pegasus, spyware against very long list of all the of victims. Poland's new prime minister said Tuesday that he has uncovered documents which confirm 100% that the prior administration illegally deployed Pegasus spyware. I don't know how you could legally deploy spyware, but I mean, well, I guess you could if you had a warrant. We're collecting stuff, but anyway. Donald Tusk, Donald Tusk, so Premier Tusk, who became prime minister in December, said he can prove the state authorities used the powerful spyware to track a very long list of targets. The allegations were announced at a briefing with President Andrzej Duda, the country's new president. Duda was a political opponent of the prior administration. In September, Poland's Senate announced that a commission probing whether Pegasus had been used in 2019 to hack opposition politicians showed gross violations of constitutional standards. Senate investigators said the country's 2019 elections were unfair because of the deployment of Pegasus, which is sold to governments worldwide by the Israeli-based NSO group. So, I mean, here's cyber. This is a cyber thing, spyware, that's being used to impact the validity of an election. Do we not see how that might be something that we should be concerned about? Like, we're in an election year here in the U.S., Lord knows that both of the candidates that we got right now have had enough problems in the past. Does this play itself out in the U.S. as well? Because we're allies with Israel. Is Pegasus floating around and is it going to come up later that this was used for some purpose or whatever? I don't know. I'm just saying, like, if you see it in other countries and you don't pay attention, you're missing the forest for the trees. So, like, be aware. There's so much signaling going on of what's coming our way and people keep kind of just turning a blind eye to it. it's a matter of time. And it's, this is not alarmist. This is just the honest conversation that has to happen. I am genuinely concerned as an American, as a citizen of planet Earth, that we are in a place where escalation of cyber will equal kinetic problems. So yeah, this article is in Sentinel Labs, from Sentinel One. So China's cyber revenge, why the PRC fails to back its claims of Western espionage. And here's the executive summary. So Dakota Carey wrote this. China launched an offensive media strategy to push narratives around the U.S. hacking, around U.S. hacking operations following a joint statement by the U.S., U.K., and EU in July about China's irresponsible behavior in cyberspace. That's not too far from the scope of reality. Some PRC cybersecurity companies now coordinate report publication with government agencies and state media to amplify their impact. Shocker, PRC folks coordinating with the PRC. Whoa, amazing. Allegations of U.S. hacking operations by China lack crucial technical analysis to validate their claims, because that's what you do when you do cyber attacks, is you cover your tracks. Until 2023, these reports recycled old, leaked U.S. intelligence documents. After mid-2023, the PRC dropped pretense of technical validation, only released allegations in state media. So they basically said, well, we'll just market this stuff inside of China. The cyber-focused media campaign preceded the 2023 efforts of China's Ministry of State Security to disclose accounts of Western spying in the PRC. And this article runs through a whole bunch of pretty solid breakdowns. China pivots around rehashing old quarrels. It's got a breakdown of the timelines that go on there, and then it talks about the new era. So this is worth you taking your time and reading up on. If you're into this whole China, you know, Russia cyber thing, give it a look. Bleeping computer. Ransomware attack forces 100 Romanian hospitals to go offline. And this was as of a couple days ago. Let's see. 100 hospitals across Romania have taken their systems offline after a ransomware attack hit their healthcare management system. The Hippocrat information systems used by, I'm sorry, y'all, I was educated in Texas. I'm barely literate. Used by hospitals to manage medical activity and patient data was targeted over the weekend, is now offline after the database was encrypted. 25 hospitals have already been confirmed to have their data encrypted by the attacker. 75 other healthcare facilities using HIS have also taken their systems offline. So cascading effects, not even that they were hit, not that it took them down, but because these things are interconnected and they're trying to prevent follow-on fallout, they just took them offline. Not good. During the night of 11-12 February 2024, a massive ransomware cyber attack targeted the production servers running the HIS information system. As a result of the attack, the system is down. Files and databases are encrypted, and that's from the Romanian Ministry of Health. The incident is under investigation by IT specialists, including cyber experts from the National Cybersecurity Directorate, and the possibilities for recovery are being assessed. Exceptional precautionary measures, which is why they took the other stuff down. But basically, this has sent them back to paper. So this is literally in the article right here. The attackers only wanted 157,000 euros, though, for this attack. They underbid themselves. Since the systems were taken offline or shut down, doctors have been forced to return to writing prescriptions and keeping records on paper. After 400 computers and servers were shut down, we mostly worked on paper, said someone at the regional oncology institute, so people that are treating cancer. We did admissions on paper, records on paper, wrote medical tests on paper. Everything is done on paper, just as we did decades ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I still go back to the point of, if we're going to have all this stuff about critical infrastructure, and we're going to have things about cyber warfare, and we're going to have legislation and meetings and blah, 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 and whatever else, like, when is enough enough? You know, if you're not aware, the U.S. in our arsenal does have this thing called it's basically a missile that doesn't explode, but it's got blades on it. Think of like if you took a missile and you stuck a lawnmower on it. the point being, we have used it in the past. We used to take out some high profile Al-Qaeda people. Believe that they used it to take out that one really bad guy from the Iranian, the IRGC. It doesn't detonate because it's just a big ass piece of metal moving at Mach 1 with a bunch of blades on it. So what I'm saying here is, if we're going to let ourselves be attacked by foreign governments, and we're going to have agents of those foreign governments literally affect our water systems, our power systems, our hospital systems. People's lives are in danger. People have died from these types of attacks. When is enough enough that you actually do something kinetically to let the folks know, we know who you are, we know where you are, and oh, by the way, here's 1,000 pounds of metal coming through your front door. You don't need to blow up the building, although that's maybe an option, but really fire one of those things, and we've got them. Fire one of those through the front door of one of these bad actor groups in a foreign country, because we've done it before. You have to be a little cautious because the Russia-China thing and whatever and the escalation, but Russia's pretty busy if you're not aware of it. And watch what happens when there's actual consequences. And I mean, we learned this when I was in the Navy and doing stuff in Iraq and whatever. Like, until you actually put lead on foreheads, you can do all the nation building and kumbaya stuff and huggy huggy and whatever else. And you can negotiate, you can sanction and whatever else. Until the bad guys see other bad guys disappearing from existence, it doesn't get the point across, especially when you're talking about something where they're making money. So the next time a U.S. hospital is attacked in a ransomware event, or the next time a United States water system or school or something that has to do with health, life and safety is attacked by a ransomware group, I think personally we should deploy a Predator drone with a Ginsu on it. And we know where they are. The intelligence community has pretty good information, and put one through their front door and then watch what happens with the rest of them. If nothing else, they will think twice, because when the finger of God points at you from on high and you see your buddies get vaporized, you'll think twice about, like, I shouldn't do this again because I don't want that to happen to me. They can just take their money that they've already made from doing all these malicious operations and retire off into, you know, Blackistan or wherever they're at and enjoy it. You know, and we're in a really weird space. Things are going to continue escalating. Last week, China flexed on Taiwan during elections going on. I think it was last week, but it was pretty recently regardless. You've seen Russia doing more stuff. Iran is the wild card in all this. Pay attention, be aware, think for yourself, look through the data, you know, do all those things that you would want someone to do that would make them appear to be an intelligent individual. Don't buy what the government is telling you. Don't buy what the media is telling you. Think for yourself. That's the most powerful thing that we still have left to ourselves. And I know this one came off kind of preachy, and I apologize. But it's one of these things that, like, somebody's got to say it. I want to say this again, the president should not be on fucking TikTok. Good God. But that is what it is. Anyway, as always, if I can help, let me know. I will put the links out there for Doug and his wonderful wife. Hopefully we can help them somehow, some way. Maybe if you're a big vendor and you got some budget floating around for one of these events that you can spare, they got their life savings taken from them and they didn't do anything wrong. They just were trying to actually invest and they got scammed. It sucks. And normally you can't help. This time you can. These people will accept the help and they can be helped. So as always, stay smart, stay safe, stay secure. If I can help, reach out to me, but I will catch you on the next one.
Disclaimer, the information in this podcast episode, aka episode, is provided for general information purposes only. By listening to this episode, you understand that this is not specific technical guidance from the host. No information contained in this episode should be construed as security advice from the author, host, or guest, nor is it intended to be a substitute for security advice on any particular subject matter. No listener of this episode should act or refrain from acting on the basis of any information included in or accessible through this episode without seeking the appropriate technical or other professional advice on the particular facts and circumstances that are discussed. This podcast is for informational purposes only. All views expressed therein are those of the host and his guest and should not be considered as being endorsed by nor related to the host or the guest's employers.